Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Hebrews chapter 13, we were talking about the similarity that exists between a marriage and the Holy Trinity. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
No smooth-talking preacher will ever justify sin. Don't be taken away by it. Now, denial of the wickedness of adultery and whoremongering, sexual sin of any kind, any sexual activity outside of marriage, to deny its wickedness is not a strategy against the evil which opposes God's holiness, as well as bringing on the destruction of the morals in the families of this country, and maybe of your county, or even of your church. Many there are who name the name of Christ, who practice these sins. If they're truly saved, they'll be chastened and scourged, that is, flogged with God's whip, according to Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 8. Now that chastening, that scourging may be disease, spirits as jealousy, divorce, or a host of other things that will attack them, although their sins are forgiven. Now understand this. God made two distinct persons when he created human beings. And the multitude of ways in which they're different cannot be discussed here. In this account, in Genesis, when God made woman for the man, and he set up marriage, and said that marriage, that a man would leave his mother and father, cling to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And that was God's design for marriage. Leaving, cleaving, one flesh. None of the three should be left out. This emphasizes the triunity of the Creator God. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, Genesis 1:26 says. Wayne Grudem wrote, "There is some similarity here. Just as there was fellowship and communication and sharing of glory among the members of the Trinity before the world was made, so God made Adam and Eve in such a way that they would share love and communication and mutual giving of honor to one another in their interpersonal relationship. Of course, such reflection of the Trinity would come to expression in various ways within human society. But it would certainly exist from the beginning in the close interpersonal unity of marriage." Well, Mr. Grudem is right. And folks, this immoral society is a scourge on America today. And it's time that preachers speak up, and it's time that Christians repent and get right. And this includes not encouraging immorality. This is dressing modestly, ladies. Your blouses, the top of your dress, should not reveal even 1/1,000,000th of an inch of what God only wanted your husband to see of your body. There are parts of your body that's reserved only for your husband to see. Neither should your skirt be so short as to stir the lust of another man. You say, well, that's his fault. Yeah, but woe to the one by whom the offense cometh. And men, you need to quit looking at the TV, the internet, whatever else, and looking at women and thinking on those things, living there in your lust. It's time to stop. It's time for you guys to wear your britches up around your waist where it belongs. It's time to start being God's people, not religious people that are worldly, but you claim religion. That is nothing but baloney. And I don't apologize for saying that. Now, we've seen instructions for our relationships concerning brethren. And we've seen the more intimate relationship, marriage, with the instructions for that. Now, the most important relationship is our personal relationship with the Lord. And so we start by looking at verse 5. Verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now, let your conversation, he says, in other words, your matter of life, be without covetousness. And again, this is an imperative. Covetous comes from a compound Greek word made up of philia, to be fond of, and argyros, silver. Here, it has a negative at the beginning of the Greek word to make it mean without a fondness for silver. The sin which is contrary to grace and duty is covetousness. Now, this is stated in such a way that we should do our best to root it out of our soul. Understand, one has a covetous soul when he cannot be content with that which the Lord has blessed him. Let me say this again, because in the recent financial crunch that's not only hit America but around the world, there are others gotten mad at God. I've met some of them. One has a covetous soul when he cannot be content with that which the Lord has blessed him. The idea is to live your life that the love of silver, that is money, is not the driving and motivating factor in your life. Instead, we're to be content with such things as you have. Now, we must keep it in mind that God is now instructing us about our relationship with him. Now, the word content, very easy to read it, to say it, but oh, how difficult it is to actually live content. So few do. So very few do. This is now speaking of being satisfied with that which meets our need, not necessarily the desire of our superfluity. We're reminded of Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, verse 13 goes on to say, for I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So, when we read that, it doesn't mean by the power of my will I can endure all things. Rather, it has the idea that his self-sufficiency was only in that he was Christ-dependent. Then he could do all things through Christ, and he could live in contentment no matter what his state. But it was only through Christ. Perhaps you're going through a hard time financially. Maybe it's in your marriage. Perhaps it's in your health. And your answer will not be found in money. Rather, it's in the commitment to, in all things, live by this word. For this, I have Jesus. For this, I have Jesus. Whatever you're going through, just remember, for this, I have Jesus. Hard times do come, my friend. There is the devastation of the sorrow of the death of a loved one. But for this, even if it's that mate for 40 or 50 years, for this, I have Jesus. Regardless of what is thrown at us in life, we have Jesus. The reason I know I can live content and trust Him in the present circumstances, rather than covet and yearn for silver, is that the Lord has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Who has said? He said, Jesus. Never worry. How are my needs going to be met? For He has said. Isn't that great? He has said. That's in the continual sense. And the idea is of an absolute truth. He's unchanging. An unchanging truth. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is a forever truth for the believer. In our usage of the word leave, we look at that. We think about His infinite power. If His infinite power be my defense, if His infinite wisdom be my portion, if His infinite love be my lot, why worry when I know He'll never leave me? Now, that word leave means to depart from. But the idea with the Greek word is, I will never let you go, and I will in no wise fail thee. Now, the word leave is preceded by two negatives in the Greek. Now, in English, if you have two negatives, they make a positive. But in the Greek, two negatives make it very intensive. So what he's saying here is, I will never, never leave thee. You ever have a baby that's just old enough to walk around, but you've slapped his hand enough to say no and don't do that, so he knows your voice that says, stop right now before I really let you have it. And here's a baby, maybe he's walking toward a hot stove, maybe a hot register of some kind. And you see him there, and you realize you can't jump over there and get to him, so you say, no, no. You say it very loud, you say it very hard, but you don't say, no, no. You just don't say it like that. You say it with authority. You say it with power and with purpose. And you say it for the good of that baby. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.